Our scripture lesson today comes to us from the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 14, verses 13 through 21. Now, when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. May God bless our hearing and understanding of this God's holy word. Today my sermon is about scarcity versus abundance, and how important it is to hold on to God and walk with God as we're thinking about the role that scarcity and abundance play in our lives. There's an old story about a man from Budapest, and he goes to his pastor and complains, "Life is unbearable. There are 6 of us living in a 1-room farmhouse. We can barely sit down. What can I do?" And the pastor says to the man, "Go home and get your goat from outside and bring the goat into the house." And the man is incredulous. But the pastor insists, "Do what I say, and then come back and talk to me in a week." So a week later, the man comes back looking more distraught and upset than ever. "We can't stand it," he says to the pastor. "That goat is filthy. We can hardly breathe." And the pastor says, "Go home and put the goat back in the barn. Come back and see me in a week." The man returns to the pastor a week later. He is radiant and exclaims, "Life is beautiful. We enjoy every minute of being together now that there's no goat, and it's just the 6 of us in the house." Isn't it wonderful how looking at a situation differently can often change everything? As I was preparing this sermon today, I have to admit, I kind of thought, yada, 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 another story of feeding the 5,000. But then I saw this story differently than I had before. The story, as you probably know, is repeated several times in the Gospels. But this time, I saw how it teaches us something very important about Jesus, and about how God works, and about the impact that the life and teaching of Jesus can have on how we live our everyday lives. So let's look at the story again. Jesus has heard some bad news. His cousin, John the Baptist, has been executed by King Herod. Jesus was almost certainly grieving after that news, and the Bible tells us that he goes off to be alone in a remote area. His disciples follow him. But someone sees Jesus. Word gets around, and soon many turn up in this remote area. And the scripture tells us that Jesus had compassion on them, and he healed their sick. But now evening is coming, and it's time for dinner. The disciples approach Jesus and say, "This is a remote place and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus wants to teach something. And he asks the disciples themselves to feed the large group. And they say, how can we do this? We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and there are a lot of people here. So Jesus sits the people down, and he prays over these 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he gives them to the disciples to distribute to everybody. And the scripture says, they all ate as much as they wanted. And afterward, the disciples picked up 12 baskets of leftovers. About 5,000 men were fed that day, in addition to all the women and children. So really, it's more than the feeding of the 5,000. It's probably more like the feeding of the 10,000. So what does this teach us? What happened on that evening in that remote area so long ago? Was it simply just a miracle, an act of God? Jesus creating a whole lot of food from a small amount, and thus illustrating that God is Jehovah Jireh, God will provide. This is the usual interpretation of the story, and it certainly has a lot of merit. We know that God can do things like that. Or is this another kind of miracle? Another kind of act of God, a different kind of message? You know, it seems logical that if people had decided to take their families out to a remote place to see a miracle worker, that they might bring some food with them. And when they saw all the people there, they would probably not want to broadcast the fact that they had brought food with them, so they might have kept their food hidden. Were the 5,000 men and the families there that day sitting on their lunches? Was the real miracle that day that people made a decision to share their food with each other? I wonder if this miracle illustrates the scarcity mentality versus the abundance mentality. I think you know what I'm talking about. A scarcity mentality comes from the feeling that there will never be enough. Not enough food, not enough wealth, not enough positive experiences, just not enough. The late Stephen Covey, the author of 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, has this to say about the scarcity mentality versus abundance mentality. He says, the scarcity mentality is the zero-sum paradigm of life. People with a scarcity mentality have a very difficult time sharing recognition and credit, power, or profit. They also have a very hard time being genuinely happy for the successes of other people. It's almost as if something is being taken from them when someone else receives special recognition. But now listen to what Stephen Covey says about the abundance mentality. It flows out of a deep inner sense of personal worth and security. It is a paradigm that there is plenty out there, and enough to spare for everybody. It results in sharing of prestige, of recognition, of profits, of decision-making. It opens possibilities, options, alternatives, and creativity. The abundance mentality takes personal joy and turns it outward, appreciating the true God-given uniqueness of others. In the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus exemplifies the abundance mentality. He says, trust in God. You will have enough. I can remember in my seminary days, which are a long time ago, one of my professors, one of my theology professors, Dr. Letty Russell, would talk about how God exemplifies life. God is life-giving. And that where life is given and joy is given, God is there. So we can see in that how the abundance mentality comes out of that sense of life and joy that God gives to each of us, if we're open to receive it. Jesus says, trust in God. You will have enough. But you know, even though we here in the United States and Lower Fairfield County, we're a prosperous people, but so many of us still have a scarcity mentality. And what exemplifies this more than those self-storage places where we store all our stuff? In 2016, Allison Stewart published a book called Junk Digging, Through America's Love Affair with Stuff. And in it, she says that the junk business is big business. Self-storage has its own association and lobbying group because it's a big business at that time, generating more than $24 billion in revenues. I'm sure it's much more now. And at that time, the United States was home to reportedly almost 52,000 self-storage units. And that's about 2.1 billion square feet of storage. And that was in 2016. I'm sure now in 2023 this has only gotten bigger. I have to confess to you, since we're here in worship, that I'm just as guilty as anybody. During COVID, my husband and I did empty and close our self-storage unit that we had in Wilton. But now our extra bedroom is our new self-storage unit. It's full of stuff. And every day my husband says to me, Anne, we've got to get organized. We've got to get rid of that stuff. Why do we need so much? Why do we turn away from the abundance mentality and hold on to that scarcity mentality? God is present here with us, and God is working in our lives. And if we hold on to Him, we don't need to hold on to anything else because the abundance is here. The early 20th century was a time of exploration. In 1913, Vilhelmur Stefansson led an expedition to the North Pole, and in 1914, Ernest Shackleton led a team to the South Pole. Both ships, the Karluk, which was going to the North Pole, and the Endurance in the South, found themselves trapped by ice packs. Each crew was faced with a fight for survival. The outcomes of the two expeditions could not have been more different. At the North Pole, the crew degenerated into a band of selfish, mean-spirited, cutthroat individualists, ending in the death of all 11 crew members. In the South, Ernest Shackleton's crew faced the same problems: cold, food shortages, stress, and anxiety. But his crew responded with teamwork, self-sacrifice, and astonishingly good cheer. To the end, each leader stayed true to his core values: scarcity mentality versus abundance mentality. Stefansson valued success above caring for people. He consistently communicated his ultimate objective: getting to the North Pole. In Stefansson's own words, this meant that even the lives of the crew are secondary to the accomplishment of this work. To the very end, Stefansson denied that his drive for success led to a tragedy for himself and his crew. In sharp contrast, Shackleton's leadership focused on the value and the dignity of his shipmates. At one of the lowest points of his trip, Shackleton wrote, "The task is now to secure the safety of the party." The well-being of his team drove him always to put others first. Shackleton even gave away his mittens and boots and volunteered for the longest of the night watches. By valuing each person, Shackleton forged a team that was willing to share their rations with each other, even on the brink of starvation. Through his example of sacrificial leadership and his living out of abundance mentality, Shackleton was able to accomplish his ultimate objective, saving the lives of his crew members. Every day, each of us has a choice. Do we want to live out of a scarcity mentality or an abundance mentality? Do we want to greet each day holding everything close to us? Or do we want to greet each day with open arms and open hearts? I encourage you this week, ask yourself, what do I choose today? Am I going to have an attitude of scarcity or an attitude of abundance? Amen.